we're talking about the 2020 census on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The count has been disrupted by the pandemic, and it's slated to be wrapped up by the end of next month, raising concerns that it could be rushed. Meanwhile, Wisconsin's response rate is number two in the nation behind our neighbor Minnesota. According to the 2020 census, as of midweek, Wisconsin's self-response rate is nearly 70%. The national average is about 64%. Minnesota leads the nation at nearly 73% of households responding to the survey online, by mail, or by phone. What do you want to know about the census and its timeline? We're at 800-642-1234. Marilyn Sanders is the Chicago Regional Director of the U.S. Census Bureau, and her service area includes Wisconsin and seven other neighboring states. Marilyn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Well, taking
glad to be here.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Looking at the response data tracker for your region, it seems the Midwest is tracking returns pretty much on par with 2010, maybe a little behind. What are you reading? What are you seeing?
Yes, we are leading the country in the Midwest, but we do have a few areas that are trending a little bit behind 2010. It's important to note that this census has the opportunity to do online responses for the first time and also the call in on the telephone. And of course, the event of COVID-19, we retooled and rescheduled some of our operations. But yes, we are doing pretty well in the state of Wisconsin.
Why does Wisconsin usually have a pretty high response rate?
So I think it's in part because of the support that we have received in, and it has been tremendous from the state, local level, from the governor's office to all of the county level major cities. About 2.5 years ago, we started to do our education and outreach campaign to make people aware that the census was coming in 2020, how important it was, and what it meant to each community.
Why are some households, some people, harder to count?
So historically, there are areas that are difficult to count, and primarily it is where there is fear of the government, not really understanding the importance of the questions that we ask. And then, of course, you have the senior population, those that are not comfortable with providing information or providing data. And then it's an education component that must be continually voiced through trusted voices. So it's a combination of not knowing the importance, what it is, and of course, just fear of providing information to the federal government.
And you've started sending people door-to-door to follow up on census forms that haven't been returned. How is that going?
So we're just getting started. The national kickoff for knocking on doors was August 9th, and we're doing pretty well. Of course, this operation will go through September the 30th. So we want to make certain that everyone knows that we are knocking on doors to collect information from those households who have not responded, that our employees are prepared with PPE, should be wearing a mask at all times, should safely interview the households. All of them should have a photo ID, and that's important for everyone to know.
All right, and so when someone comes to the door, knocks on the door, what is the protocol for making sure to keep a safe social distance? How do you do that interview?
So it is important that they keep their mask on at all times, and they have to maintain social distance, and they will provide masks to the respondent as well if they would like to have one. So it's about a 10-minute interview. And it only takes 10 minutes, so it's important also to note that they will leave a notice of visit to let the household know that they have visited if they're not home. And even as we're knocking on doors, you can still go online. You can still go to 2020census.gov and complete the census, and that's important to note. And if necessary, you can also complete the census by phone by calling 844-330-2020. That's 844-330-2020.
And we'll have those resources as well at WPR.org/mornings. We're talking with Marilyn Sanders of the U.S. Census Bureau. The census is wrapping up its decennial count by the end of September. You can join in with your questions. Have you returned your census form yet? Do you know where it is? Are you concerned people in your community won't be counted? Do you have concerns about what the census asks? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Marilyn, can you give us a timeline here about what happens next in the census and how this process unfolds?
So the data collection process ends in September, and then from there we begin the processing of the data. Now, it's also important to note that we do quality control, so we do some follow-up, and that is to make certain that we have the most accurate and complete data. So quality control will last a little bit beyond that time. We also conduct a post-enumeration survey. And the post-enumeration survey is a survey that we utilize in order to measure the quality in terms of the overcount or undercount for the census. And then we begin the tabulation and the data collection. We also have operations that will be going on and are currently going on that's important to getting a complete count. And that is what we call our group quarters enumeration. So in addition to knocking on doors, we're also visiting those facilities that operate, such as nursing homes, if they're available for us to go and conduct. And what we do in nursing homes, which is important to note, we actually lead the questionnaires and work with the administrators in order for them to help us facilitate getting a response. We also have to do what we call transitory locations. And in Wisconsin, you have vacation areas, you have mobile home parks, you have transitory type locations. So that will be ongoing during the month of September as well. But most importantly, data collection ends on September 30th, and you can still respond online until that time. But then we start the process of completing the quality control and tabulating the data that we've collected.
What happens if you can't get into a group quarters like a nursing home?
So what's been important this census is our ability to allow the nursing facilities also to do what we call e-response. And so that operation is going on. They can still go and provide the information online. So some of the follow-up we're doing is to also make certain that they're aware that they can do it online. So it's a continuing process that we've been doing now with the online responses and reaching out to those facilities. We've been doing that all along. So now we're going to safely deploy people to go to those facilities, see if they're still open, see if they have completed the online responses. They also had the opportunity to provide us a mail back response where they would complete the information, we would pick it up, and then we would process it. So there's been several opportunities provided, and we'll continue to do that all the way up to September 30th.
Marilyn Sanders is Chicago Regional Director for the U.S. Census Bureau, talking about the status of data collection as the count wraps up September 30th. Have you returned your form yet? What do you want to know about the census? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment with Marilyn Sanders on the Ideas Network. We're checking in on the 2020 census on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Census workers started knocking on doors earlier this week. All offices are scheduled to complete their work by September 30th. Census data is collected every 10 years, and hundreds of federal spending programs rely on data from the count to guide the distribution of federal tax dollars. What do you want to know about the work of the census in Wisconsin? It's 800-642-1234. Marilyn Sanders is the Chicago Regional Director of the U.S. Census Bureau, and she started as a field representative in the mid-70s, and she stays with us. So, Marilyn, you know, starting in the mid-70s, how have you seen the census evolve over the decades through the digital age, through the dawn of the internet and the web, now a pandemic?
So, yes, it's really been a wonderful, awesome experience. So there was times when we did not, of course, have internet or have the ability to go online. So we had to manage a lot of paper. Our offices was much larger, and I think the most important point was trying to track and keep up with all of the paper. Technology has afforded us the opportunity, this census, that even in the midst of a pandemic, you were still able in the privacy of your home to go online and complete the census. We had telephone assistance in previous censuses, but not the ability for you to complete the census by calling in on the telephone. So those are major changes. I think over time, historically, though, it's always been the same in terms of needing to educate and needing to get trusted voices in the communities that understand all the billions of dollars that are distributed annually based on census numbers. And the fact that for the next 10 years, this data will inform decisions that are made for future generations on schools, where to put daycares, where we may need hospitals, emergency services. So that has continued to be a message that we needed to get out down through the years. However, the technology, the way we're able to collect data, that has changed tremendously.
Do you think people understand the consequences of these counts?
So I think it's something that requires a lot of reminders. And I think that the federal government does invest in a partnership, an outreach program. We have marketing, there are commercials on now, and we've changed those commercials based on COVID-19. We're doing more radio. But I think at the end of the day, it is important when individuals understand the resources that their community, their state, their local government, federal funding that they miss out on when one person is not counted. And you miss those funds for the next 10 years. Public work programs, I think, is so much that we can make people aware of that many are not on how the census informs the funding that comes back to the community for business and all those things that are needful for a community to thrive, public safety, emergency preparedness, even in the midst of COVID-19, knowing how many people lived in a community. That information was so critical. And we only get this chance every 10 years to participate in the census.
We're talking with Marilyn Sanders of the U.S. Census Bureau. The census is wrapping up its count by the end of September. Taking your questions as well, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Ray now, who's joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Ray.
Yes, good morning. I consider myself to be on the left, actually the far left, but the question I have today is, I know what the Constitution says, to count every person. But since the census is used to politically divide our country, how many states get how many senators, etc., how is it fair to citizens to use non-citizens in that count that divvy up a representative? It doesn't seem fair to me. Shouldn't there be two censuses? One which asks the constitutional question, count every person, and then a second one that says count everybody who can legally vote because it doesn't seem fair.
Ray, let's get Marilyn's response on that in terms of how the census is counted in terms of people who are legal citizens and who may be immigrants to the country. Marilyn?
So since 1790, we have conducted the census, and our mandate through the Constitution is to count everyone. And our goal is to count everyone once and only once and in the right place. Our mission is to do the count, and that's what we are conducting. So it is important to note that the Census Bureau follows and is following our constitutional mandate, which is to take the census, a count of every person living in the U.S. once, only once, and in the right place.
What happens for a state that has a low census return? I was looking at the response data from other states and, you know, for instance, in a state I used to live in, Louisiana has a very low response rate right now, Mississippi low. What about those states?
So what you're looking at is a self-response rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so self-response rates represent where individuals have gone online, mailed back the questionnaire, or called in on the telephone. So what we're doing in low response rate areas right now, of course, we're knocking on doors. But in addition to that, we have a mobile questionnaire assistance program that we have put in place. And in past censuses, we had what you call questionnaire assistance centers. This census, we have mobile questionnaire assistance. So we have trained what we call census representatives, to go to places where individuals are going for essential services, where they may be distributing food, water, things of that nature. And we have them deployed throughout the country. And they're going to these events, helping people to navigate the instrument, letting them know how to get to 2020census.gov. We're also doing virtual workshops, virtual meetings. We're doing virtual events through social media in those communities that are low responding. I mentioned our outreach program and the fact that we have partnership specialists throughout the country, and they're responsible for working at that lowest level within that community, finding that trusted voice at the community center, engaging them to help them to conduct a virtual Zoom meeting to get people engaged. We're also asking our Complete Count committees to do things such as parades through their community where they can display census messages and make certain that we get the word out that way. So in low-performing areas, we are hiring additional staff to go to events where people are going currently for social essential services. So there are a lot of people that still go to the grocery stores, go to Walmart. There are events that cities are having to support individuals that are in need. And so we are deploying staff there with census materials to help people understand the importance. And then, of course, we're knocking on doors, and we will continue to knock on those doors to get a response.
Marilyn, do you think you can get this data collection done by September 30th?
Yes, we have continuing to hire, and I want to point that out, we're still hiring. And if you're interested in working for us, and the average pay rate is about $29 an hour across the country, different pay rates by county and state, but that's the average. We're also offering an award. You can earn up to $800 in addition to your salary based on the number of hours that you work. So it's important also for us to let individuals know that you can still work for us. The census still has an online application process, and the sooner you go through that process, because everyone has to go through a fingerprinting and a background clearance. But we're still hiring, and we'll continue to hire people and train people and get people to help us with this most important mission, and that is to get everyone counted. and get them counted by September the 30th.
Have the recent derecho storms and tornadoes set back your efforts at all?
So, of course, you have what we call no-show rates. We may invite, and we do these trainings by bringing individuals on, and this is important, social distancing, providing them their onboarding documents where they sign all of their documents, they are given their equipment, and then they are tasked with going home and completing their training online. Once they complete that training online, they do a final assessment, and then we release to them work for them to do. It's important, though, that they identify the hours that they are available to work. This census, you talked about how things have changed. In past censuses, we assigned everybody the work, and we kind of hoped everybody went out and completed the work. This census, we have the opportunity to efficiently assign work. And so each individual, based on the hours that they're available to work for us, will get an assignment.
Marilyn, thank you so much for joining. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Marilyn Sanders, Chicago Regional Director of the U.S. Census Bureau. For disclosure, the U.S. Census Bureau is a business sponsor of Wisconsin Public Radio. News is next on the Ideas Network.